Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something seeks to celebrate the craft of live storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories, told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on June 11th, 2013, at the Top Hat. This edition of Tell Us Something features 9 storytellers telling a story based upon the theme perception. This week's story comes to us from Steve Saroff and is titled, Did the Shoes Fit? Check out his writing at montanavoice.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, how are you all tonight? Oh, that's really big. Good. Okay. Yeah. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? How about that? That's better? Okay, good. All right. So I'm going to tell you a story about something that happened to me when I was 20 years old. And it was one winter evening where I chanced upon an old man who was hurt and dying. And because I chanced upon him when I did, I saved his life. He had a really interesting name. His name was Gervy English. And he told me that he thought I was an angel that he had prayed for to come and find him. And at that time in my life, I don't really think I believed in angels at all. And I was sort of thinking I had just found him for kind of the most selfish of reasons. Well, I left home when I was really young, and I had been going to college and dropping out and going to college, and mostly I was just a laborer. And I was living in Missoula, and it was wintertime, and I decided to hitchhike down to California and see if I could get a job. I had dropped out of college, and I had an older brother who lived there. And so my older brother had a bicycle, and I'd get on the bicycle, and I would drive around looking for work. And I knew how to program computers, which back then was not really a skill. It was more an oddity. No one would hire you for doing that. But I also knew how to fix machinery, but mostly I knew how to do manual labor. So I would go around and get labor jobs and do work. So I had been riding my bicycle from where my brother lived in Los Altos into San Jose, and I would just go into these great big glass buildings and ask what they did and try to get really interesting jobs. But I'd also stop at construction sites and ask for work, and no one was hiring me. And I would ride around on the bicycle, and one night, evening time, I was riding back, and I was riding on a frontage road, and to my right on the frontage road was a little strip of lawn, and next to the lawn was a chain link fence. And right behind the chain link fence was a great big concrete retaining wall. And to my left was just a bunch of like warehouse industrial crap. Everything was closed. But as I was riding, and I tend to notice little small things, as I was riding my bicycle, I noticed that the lawn had been freshly mowed. And right about that time, I noticed there was a pair of sneakers hanging on the top of the chain link fence. And as I rode by, I was probably about 50 feet away, and I kind of thought, Adidas. And back then, those were the real hot shoe to have. And I thought, God, they look like they would have fit. And so I turn around and I ride back to the, and I kind of had thought in my mind, oh, somebody was mowing this lawn, and maybe they needed to put on a pair of boots, so they took the shoes off and they hung them up on the fence. But I pull up next to the shoes and I walk up there and I couldn't reach them. They were really high. So that meant they were up about nine feet up in the air. So I almost didn't climb up to get them. But I climbed up to get the shoes and I'm untangling. One shoe was on one side of the fence and one was on the other and they were tangled. And as I was untangling them, I look back and there's all these really dense bushes, probably manzanita, and the interstate was about 100 feet away. And I looked back and I freaked out because there was a really badly wrecked car smashed up right against the stone retaining wall with a dead person sitting in the front seat, except he wasn't dead, he was breathing. And so I said something kind of dumb, you know, his window was all smashed and it was open. And I said, "Hey, are you okay?" And he opens his eyes a bit and he says, "Water. Water." So I drop down and I get on my bike and I race up to a convenience store that was a block away or so, and I call 911 and I go back and stand near where the shoes are so they could find him. And I had real long hair then, and cops they don't really believe people, kids, guys with long hair. And I told them there was a wreck behind the wall, and so one of them climbs up there and goes, "Jesus." And so they took my name and the phone number at my brother's house, and I rode my bicycle home. And on the way home, I was thinking, oh, I was kind of bummed because I didn't get a reward or something. So when I'm at home, I didn't even mention it to my brother. The phone rings, and it was a woman. It turned out the guy's wife calling up and wanting to meet me. She was calling from one of the local hospitals. So I borrowed my brother's motorcycle and rode to the hospital, thinking maybe I'd get a reward. And I went into the waiting area, and there were a whole bunch of people, like 30 people, sitting around. They all looked just really old and depressed. And I said, "Is Mrs. English here?" And they all got up and came up and started crying and hugging me. Well, it turned out he had some sort of car problem and blacked out on the way to work and went through the bushes and it smashed up against the wall there. And he had been there for 3 solid days and 2 nights. And it was going to get close to freezing that night. And they told me later that he would have died. And his kidneys had started to fail. And he was really hurt, really severely hurt. And what had happened is he had heard the front of his car was damaged, so the horn didn't work. And he had heard a lawnmower, and he tied his shoes together and thrown them up when the guy mowing the lawn was going by. And they snagged on the top of the fence, so the guy didn't see him. That's kind of desperate. So anyway, I sat there with them till late at night, and he came out of surgery, and he was going to be okay. And I left, and I was thinking, oh, bummer, I didn't get a reward. So a couple days go by, and I get a phone call. I'm still looking for work, and it's Gervy English, and he wants to meet me. He wants to meet me. And so I go over to the hospital, and I was expecting some old shell of a person. I'm 55. He's probably 55 years old. You know? And he was one of the most interesting, wonderful people I ever met in my life, and he asked me all sorts of questions about myself, and he said he thought I was an angel that was sent from Montana to find him. And I almost said, well, then why didn't God send me 3 days earlier? But I didn't say anything. And so I'm getting up to leave, and he says, wait, and he reaches over to his night table, and he gets his wallet, and he hands me a lot of cash for me. I don't know. And I looked at it, and I don't know. I looked at him, and somehow I kind of looked inside myself, and I really didn't like what I saw. You know, I was just a bum. And I hand the money back to him, and I said, I don't need this. I really don't need this. And he smiled, and he says, okay. And then right when I was walking out the door, he says, you know, I have a friend who might give you a job. And he gives me a guy's name and a phone number. So I started working for this guy. So it turned out the guy was Gervy's absolute best friend. And sometimes you have to work years before people feel they'll pay you back for having worked. But in this case, the best friend of Gervy really liked me. All we talk about was technology and writing software and electronics. And he said to me, you know, Steve, you can get a lot better job than what you're doing here. And he goes, I know a friend of mine who works at one of the big technology companies, and he's been looking for somebody just like you for a long time. Let me try to introduce you. And he did, and I ended up with a job that, because of that job, I've never had to look for another job ever before. And I stayed in touch with Gervy, and you know, I wrote to him when I graduated from college, and I wrote to him when I had kids, and he always called me his angel, but the way he really changed my life I think he was my angel. That's the story.
Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. Tell Us Something would like to thank the bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. More at montanabookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. Factandfictionbooks.com. The Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years. The Top Hat now serves food and offers, in addition to great music, comedy shows, film, and performance art. More at tophatlounge.com. Jonathan Marquise is an artist and human in Missoula, Montana. Learn more about him and his art at subjecttogravity.com. That's subject, the number 2, gravity.com. Matt LaRubio, screen printing and graphic design. More at ranchhanddesign.com. Rockin' Rudy's, your source for the best music, gifts, and more. Great music, great people. Rockin'Rudy's.com. Bijou Body, fair trade organic beauty tea blends. Scientifically advanced, holistically intelligent anti-aging body care products. More at BijouBody.com. And thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and to the storytellers. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. The next Tell Us Something is scheduled for October 10th here at the Top Hat. The theme is currently undecided. If you would like to tell a story in the fall quarter, please call 203-4683 to pitch your story idea. Thank you for listening.